from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that tells you, you know, kindness begins at home with yourself. So I say, hey, you did, you know, go ahead and say, hey, you did a pretty good job today out there in that world out there. You know, so the podcast that says, hey, be kind, rewind. That doesn't apply anymore. It's the time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to both of those, like, how much is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight
straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I hate up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place. I'm it's a bit saying every once in a while, I'm going to pat it, rub it, smooth it down, safe place. I don't know if that's rub it, down. Oh no. But I like to do rub it, pat it, smooth it, rub it down, safe place. Not exactly sure why I find that comforting, but I know that a safe place is comforting. And what this safe place means is that you can set aside, we're going to call them proverbial burdens here, you know. Like whatever's got you up, whether it's thinking, feeling, sensing, turbulence, emotional turbulence, turbulence from the day to day, is peering into the future. You say, well, I suspect some turbulence coming. Yeah, scoots at night, turbulence becomes delight, a dull delight. It could be, you know, it could be physical sensations, noise, change in schedule, whatever it is. I'm going to try to take your mind off of that. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders. What I'm going to do here is in this show, well, I always try to do it. I say, well, let's try to package this one up. Let's for this opening, Scoots. And oh, yeah, also I refer to myself, I guess you'd say it's the third person, but it's probably like the fourth person because I'm Drew is the producer of the podcast and the one who creates it. And then as Drew, I become Scooter so I can stay calm enough to use the lulling, soothing tones. So Drew becomes Scooter. That just helps me, you know, stay chill like this. But then Scooter talks about himself in the third person. So I don't know what that means. And he said, well, I mean, last time they said that, they said, well, you already, you know, they said, well, that's all we need on your form, sir. And they said, okay. Anyway, let's see. Where was I? Safe place. Take your mind off of stuff. That's what this podcast is. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. In the role I fill, I call it a boyfriend here. And what that means, you know, a lot of times that word friend or boyfriend, you know, those combined can sound like something that involves commitment. In this sense, in this relationship here, it's actually like a perfectly, and a lot of times you will hear the phrase out there in the non-Sleep With Me podcast world, one-way commitment. You'll hear that used to. You may never hear it used, but if you do, they say, well, that's a one-way commitment. That's no good. You got to get yourself out of that. Or how could you do that to that person, one-way commitment? In this podcast, this is a one-way commitment. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. It's going one way. And ideally, it just carries you along like bird songs on the wind. And it distracts you from whatever's keeping up, and then you drift off into dreamland. But I guess I was talking about the role I feel as boyfriend is an imaginary role, no commitment because I'm just coming through your earphones or your speaker pillow or whatever setup you're listening to, you know, so you don't have to worry about picking up. You don't have to worry about me. You see, did he let the dog out before he left with that podcast story thing? Oh, no, he did. We had a sleep timer on. Well, do you think because I thought he said he brought his own chamomile and lavender biscuits. Well, yeah, they're imaginary. Like, so, you know, if a real boyfriend was coming over, first of all, it'd be terribly expensive because you say, who would come over and tell you bedtime stories? Either someone that talks about themselves in the fourth person, you know, see, but I do it through a podcast service here. Just like a friend or a neighbor or, you know, some idealized version of those things. They come over and say, hey, could you just and imagine that, like a lot of these things, I guess the word where I'm looking for is tact or I think there's something like tact, where you couldn't say this to somebody in your regular life. You say, hey, like the dude that lives on your street that wears flip-flops everywhere, and he has those shorts, those tattered shorts where you can see his boxers through the butt. Okay, check. Okay, I've got those. I'm 2 for 2. And his hair is usually disheveled. And he has a, you know, has a distant, if he doesn't have sunglasses on, he has a distant look in his eye. Even when you're talking directly to him, you can't see, you think he's looking, you know, he's looking at the beach, even though the beach may be thousands of miles away. And I'm not quite like that dude. I say, hey, yeah. Well, yeah, I was just, what was I doing? Oh, I was going to go to the store. Yeah, because I was going to make some, you know, I was making breakfast. You know, when you cut out a hole in the middle of bread and then you put an egg in there? I was going to make those. I forgot if they're called bird's nests or egg nests or a hole in a toad, maybe. Yeah, so like if you ran into that neighbor, you say it would be lacking of tact. I don't know if the neighbor would actually mind. You say, hey, Brad, would you mind, and also be a little bit uncomfortable, because say, could you come by at about 10:45? I got a big meeting tomorrow. You know, hold those thoughts about whatever nonsense you were rambling about making your breakfast with the hole in the toad. If you could hold on to those thoughts, come by at 10:45. And just, and I don't want you to actually be in my room, but if you could stand in the hall, and please don't touch anything, because, you know, I just cleaned the walls. And just say that in that same chill voice. Okay, you want me to come by? Well, what time should I come by? 1:45 a.m. I'll be there. No, Brad. Can you come by 10:40? I got to get some sleep, actually. Okay, can I tell you about this book I'm reading? Because it's great. No, I don't want to hear any books that are great. No. Just talk about the bread you're getting at the store. Okay. And you'll listen to me, because I was going to ask your advice about stuff. No, actually, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to lie in bed and fall asleep while you talk about that. And if you could let yourself out, and I know you're not good at remembering things. So see how many, like, is that called social norms? Is that what we're talking about? They really complicate things when it comes to getting asleep. I mean, geez, if you could just pull somebody, the most boring person you ran into over your week, and say, but of course, these social norms, more are those mores? I mean, what a hassle. They call this civilization, would you believe? But now technology has come so far. Welcome to the future. A future where Brad can come straight to your ears via, and I guess, hey, instead of Brad, okay, what is it if Drew is talking through Scooter's voice, then Scooter's talking about himself in the third person, then Scooter's doing Brad? Now, luckily in this metaphor, unfortunately, now that I've pointed out, Brad will become self-aware. But up until this point, Brad had, why is everybody talking about me like I'm not here, man? I wear flip-flops because my feet get a breeze. Why would I need to wash my feet? Well, Brad, this person, I don't know if that's a sixth person I don't know, man. You know, I have a PhD, by the way, and you just talk about me like I'm some flu, and actually this metaphor is based on you, because you just like an anxiety ridden version of me, man. Okay, this is getting a little too voicey, so I'm going to pull it back, everybody. Okay, thank you, Brad. Thank you, straw person or whatever that I was trying to serve. But if you're new here, or if you've been here a while, you say, honey, did Scooter do a surf movie last night? Because I heard him talking in some Brad voice about flip flops. Yeah, I don't know. I think he did the history of the flip flop. Maybe. Oh well, that sounds like him. Because I could think about the history of flip flop. It had my attention for 1 millisecond, and then I said, oh well, history of flip flop. Well, that would be pretty quick. So ideally, that's the conversation you're having at breakfast tomorrow with your partner or just with yourself. You say, what was he talking about? But that's the podcast. I'm going to try to take your mind off stuff. But instead of having, oh, that's what I was saying, the civilized world with all its demands on our
politeness. You can't just say, hey, could you come over and just tell me a story and ramble and let yourself out? I'm not going to give you any attention. I'm probably going to fall asleep halfway through. I'd appreciate it, though, if you keep the story going so that you, like, make sure I fall into deep sleep. Not just, like, stop. As soon, you know, just like with a little kid, you can't just walk out of the room right when they fall asleep. You got to keep it going. I think that's either the lizard brain or the mammalian brain has to reach a second. I don't know. We're getting into pseudoscience here, but, you know, something about the ganglion, ganglias. I think the ganglias have to be rested as well. So that's it. This podcast is haven't been a ganglia. We haven't been approved by any ganglias, and I don't even, the ganglia just does not sound. I don't even know what that is, to be honest. I don't know where that came from. Not exactly the most delectable word. It's nice to say ganglia, but I can't, you know, can't imagine. It doesn't, you know, at least for me, it doesn't crop up at beautiful images. Oh dear, my ganglia just started weeping and I don't even know what part of my body they're in. Limbic system. Oh, my limbic system just said they're in there. My limbic system, unfortunately, I'm the only person with a limbic system that lies. Oh, my limbic system said they're the only limbic system with a couple pejoratives that accuse limbic systems of lying. Anyway, let me get back to the new listeners. Excuse me. So if you're new here and you're approaching this podcast with skepticism, great. A podcast is to take your mind off. So it starts off a little bit silly to kind of put you at ease, maybe put a smile on your face and say, well, kind of funny. This podcast is kind of funny-ish. Well, mildly amusing. That's a term I like to use, just like Brad. But as your boyfriend, I come over. You don't have to, you know, there's just, you just press play, set a sleep timer. So you don't have to worry about if my feet are clean. Or if I'm going to put my hand on the wall, you know, if I'm going to touch anything or lock the door because it's just a podcast. But I'll be here the whole time, giving it my all to take your mind off stuff, be mildly amusing, mildly entertaining, somewhat engaging. You don't have to fall asleep. You can fall asleep whenever you want. But the main thing is you don't need to listen very hard. And I need to say, this is the only place where listening hard, you see, he's hard to listen to. That's what people that don't like me probably say. And, but here you don't have to listen hard either, where you're like, okay, I got to figure out what he's taught. You say, what the heck is he talking about? You think he's trapped in some sort of a sixth person. He speaks in the sixth person every once in a while. No, man, he would speak in the sixth person like this, I think. Anyway, I didn't want to do too many voices. Sorry, Brad. But that's it. So take your mind off stuff. Instead of thinking about it, whatever it is that happens to be keeping you up, you just listen to me and let me slowly drift away. That's what I do as your boyfriend. Take your mind off stuff. Try to keep you, you know, it's just a service I offer via this podcast. And why do I offer it? Because I think it's nice. Like, it's something I wouldn't mind, you know. Or when the nights I've had that I really couldn't sleep or that I was really hard to sleep, just have someone sit at my bedside and say, geez, that doesn't seem that great. That seems tough. You can't fall asleep. You know, I don't have a magic wand to kind of just sprinkle sleep dust on you, but what I could do is just say, geez, that's hard not being able to sleep. Let me tell you a little story here. Maybe it'll put you to sleep. If it doesn't put you to sleep, like I said, I'll be here the whole time giving it my all. And to keep you company, just like a boyfriend would. And that's it. And I appreciate you stopping by. If you're new here, sometimes it takes a few episodes to get used to this, or like 35 seconds to do, you know, the people that it's not going to work for, you know, they stopped listening. So that's a good, you know, so just give it a couple more tries. I hope it helps you fall asleep. I really yearn to help you fall asleep, and I appreciate your time. Housekeeping. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does our theme music, edited this episode. He's got a podcast, Sounds Like an Earful. Check it out. I want to thank Jonathan Mann, who does our lullabies. He's at jonathanmann.net. You can commission a song from him. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. The listeners have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, NODS. That's
narrated by Laura, Julie C., Jennifer B., Lie to Lie, Summer and Sarah. There's also a subreddit at sleepwithmepodcast.com/reddit, and that is it. Let's get on with the show.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. We're back. It's a Sunday night again. Sunday, 7:30, July 3rd. I don't know exactly when you'll be hearing this, but we're kind of trying to get some recording done. And this is part two of a story that I started last Sunday. And I say story, of course, in quotes, because for me, you know, the world of story and the world of adventure are so closely related. But last week, what had happened was, well, let's see, just in case you missed last week, I'll try to put this as tight a summary as I can, which it's not, you know, garter belt tight. But last week I was talking about this iPod, this old iPod I have, and how at some point this iPod had become, well, let's see, it's hard to say, it's definitely a ghost in the machine. So if you know what a ghost in the machine is, it means within the machine of the iPod, there's a ghost. And depending on who you talk to, you know, if you talk to a scientist, they're going to say, oh, it's, you know, some sort of, like if you talk to a solid state scientist, they're going to blame the solid state. If you talk to an algorithmic scientist, they're going to say, well, it's a flux in the algorithm. And that is a professional term, flux in the algorithm. Oh, no, that was a song I wrote. Flux in the algorithm. Yeah, right after I get done writing algorithmic that I never wrote. If you talk to a paranormal person, say, well, it's an actual ghost in the iPod. Now, don't worry. This is a friendly, I believe it's a friendly one. Whether it's, it could be a mechanical malfunction. Now, I have to believe, also, in this case, the ghost is based on Carol King, the great songstress, which adds a tiny bit of a wrinkle, depending on your version, what you believe a ghost is, because Carol King is still with us. So it leaves it open to a lot of interpretation. But what I'm saying is I have an iPod, an old iPod, and it's possessed by some sort of, now this has been my spin on it. Again, let the Swedes, it has been sent over there. So the Belgians, the Swedes, the Norwegians, the Swiss, they're all going to have a look at it, and they'll all, put in their 2 cents. It is even scheduled for a stopover in Iceland. And I think even Dusseldorf, I'm not sure if that's where all the weights and the measures are. Word's gotten around about this thing. I did send out about 5,000 press releases. Just to European ones. I figured, in America, they've stopped, they've blocked me. But I said, let me give one more shot there. Northern Europe. But I guess before they're all they rule, it must be at the top of all of their to-do lists. But I have to believe that that there's something mystical going on with this iPod and Carol King, because here's why it led me on a journey that we started last week. What had happened was I was walking, I was stressed about the podcast and figuring out stuff about the podcast. And he said, let me see if this, because I've had this ghost of the machine issue for a little while, but it hadn't led me on any adventures yet. And, everybody says, geez, you got to find some faith in something. And I said, why not take faith in some sort of a dysfunctional consumer product? What could be more American than that? With the 4th of July coming up, I said, I better practice, But so I said, geez, I'm having trouble here. I'm stressed. I better go for a walk. Actually, maybe I was placing my faith in the act of walking then. But then happened to be walking down the street. I saw this cat and a bobcat, what I believe is a bobcat, on the porch, and the bobcat was groaning. And normally I just mind my own business, maybe look at the bobcat, maybe take its picture, but it was groaning. And at some point the iPod became sentient and the Carol King started sending me messages through the iPod via songs she was shuffling. Again, these are my words. They happen to correspond with the events of this adventure. But, the song titles and the music led me to take this bobcat and attempt to, it was going, meh. And I took off my shirt, wrapped it in my shirt, and I headed out to try to say, a lot of times I start, if you listen to this podcast, sometimes I do stuff without thinking. And sometimes it's good intention. I said, let me not mind my own business here and scoop up this bobcat since it's groaning. And I know nothing about bobcats, very little. Here's something that's interesting I didn't think about. I'm allergic to cats, not bobcats, so that's good. So I took the bobcat out, and I headed out to try to find it, a place where it could get degroned. Because I asked it, do you have a hairball? It said, meh. So I was out on the thing. Then I ran into a woman named Simone, who I did develop a crush for, but she was in a relationship, unfortunately. And Carol King, I thought Simone was going to help me take this bobcat to the zoo. Now, I guess I should have, also when I was looking for help, I was just kind of yelling about Carol King messaging me via an iPod. And then this woman pulled up in a car. And for some reason, I guess because I'm, what is that called? When you're like a little kid, naive. I didn't suspect. I thought she was there on behalf of Carol King to help me with this bobcat. So then we drove to this up a mountain. And that's when Simone broke it to me that she was trying to get into the mountain This was her bobcat, and her sister was a zoo dictator. There was a zoo in the mountain. I guess I was still, that's where it got hazy, because she said she had been locked out or she was a prisoner there. I just wanted to help the groaning bobcat. I mean, when you hear a bobcat groan like that, I guess it doesn't pull on your heartstrings. I guess, but it was in the traditional sense, it was a call to adventure. And oh, what an adventure we had. Because no sooner did we gain access to this mountain on the inside, but I realized that it was a giant zoo. Well, I didn't see the zoo part. I just saw the caged part. So this must have been behind the scenes. Her sister, Simone said her sister was a zoo dictator. Her lover, she was French. So that's how they, like, don't, you know, no knee jerking. That's how they, like, that's how she referred. Patrice was a vet, and he would take care of the bobcat. But I think the bobcat, it may have even been a normal cat, but I would have been sneezing. Or at least my eyes would have been watering. That it needed to be fed. But then I was hit by a dart, and then I was caged with all the other animals. And Simone and Patrice kind of said, well, that's it. And that's where we left off. There I am, trapped. And oh, I also, just in case anybody doesn't listen to the podcast, you could say, like, I have a primordial resistance to zoos or something. Like, when I see caged animals, it doesn't bother me politically. I mean, probably on some level it does, and it doesn't bother me morally. It's funny that it rhymes, but primordially it does bother me. I say, something about this that reminds me. And I said, probably I was in a zoo at some point. And go ahead, get your laughs out. That probably, yeah, at some point in the future, I'll be in the zoo. But it'll be on, like, Planet KT 4562. And I'll just be doing this podcast maybe 24 hours a day, you know, as they feed me through some sort of, you know, they say, okay, if he can keep this up, you know, then the food drops through the slot as long as he keeps being boring. You hear, you know, definitely don't do that. If anyone's in another universe is listening into this podcast, please don't. I'd rather, you know, could you just use some sort of pleasure-based system instead of just food-based? If you're going to zoo me, you know, say, you know, then, you know, say, well, we'll let you go, you know, next door to for coupling or something. You know what I'm saying? Let's just start where I was. There it was. I was in this cage. I had fallen asleep because they had darted me again with, you know, veterinarian style zoo darts. Also, after I'd woken up, I was always, you know, I watch way, you know, as a youth and as an adult, I've watched way too much fictional television and cartoons. And the veterinarian dart is such a thing that, it, you know, they had left it in there with me. So then I had to, like, really check it out. Because I guess I've lived my whole life without ever having touched one of those things. So I, like, so that did put me back to sleep because I touched the tip again. And not for very long. But, I wanted to look at, geez, was it a piece of cloth on the bottom or a feather or a poofy thing? And, you know, was a tube, and I unscrewed it, and then I, like, looked at it, just, you know, I was fascinated. And then I guess they were observing me, Simone and Patrice, and they'd been watching me, and they said, he'll make the perfect candidate. And then I dropped, and I said, the candidate for what? I said, was this all ruse? I thought I was here to, I said, where's Bob the Bobcat? And then, you know, they just laughed. And I said, where's your sister? I thought she was the dictator of this zoo. And I said, is this like the holding area? And I said, what did you mean I'm the perfect? And then the iPod in my pocket whirred. And it clicked. And then it whirred and it clicked. I said, oh, no, please not a hard drive failure, because I can't, you know, I'm not good on my own making decisions. And I closed my eyes, and I couldn't, you know, unfortunately, I couldn't picture Carole King in my mind because I don't know what she looks like. And just don't tell her this, but I pictured Carole King in my mind. And I closed my eyes, and I said, but of course I said, Carole King, please help, you know. And then it kicked on a Christmas song. I think, I don't know if there's Bing Crosby. And I said, well, that's, and I said, okay. And then I said, I went up to Simone and I said, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Sandman nipping at your nose. And then she said, Jack Frost, like right when I touched her. And I said, is Jack Frost a French, what do you call Jack Frost? I said, don't you guys have Papa Noel over there in France? And she said, how do you know about Papa Noel? And I said, I don't know. I was just thinking though, I hope Papa Noel doesn't, does Papa Noel keep track of who's naughty and who's nice? Cause oh boy, you know, capturing a man trying to, you know, go for a walk and then instructed by a mystical iPod inhabited by Carole King to help a groaning bobcat, you know, putting him in a cage and then, you know, talking mysteriously about him. I don't think Papa Noel is going to like that. And then she whispered something to Patrice. And then Patrice, they're whispering back and forth. So I said, okay, I got to keep it. And I said, man. I said, well, Papa Noel, you know, hopefully if I've spoken your name aloud, you know, and I said, maybe it's like basic. And I guess I started mixing up all my legends. So I closed my eyes. I started spinning in circles or turning in circles. And then like Beetlejuice, I said, Papa Noel, Papa Noel. Then I looked in a mirror and it was like a shiny wall. And then I did that, Papa Noel, and then they said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just making sure Papa Noel, you know, is keeping an eye on this. And they said, there's no such thing as Papa Noel. And I said, I guess that's fine if you're willing to take the risk. I said, because I don't know what he brings. He said, does he bring you coal or sour wine and baguettes? And then my iPod whirred and played again, and Ghost by Apollo's Sunshine came up. And I said, what are you trying to tell me, Carole King? And I said, oh, boy. And I said, well, geez, I said, why don't you just tell me what you're going to do with me? What did you need me to do anyway? Because I said, did you tell him about the ghost in my iPod? And she said something about me being mad, you know. And she said, he thinks the Carole King is in his iPod. And I said, Simone, no, I don't think anything. And I said, don't you use a je ne sais quoi? Doesn't that mean, is that what means the spirit of things? The essence of things, the goodness, the pure goodness of Carole King is within my iPod instructing me. And following it led me here to I guess try to help, and now and then I looked around again. I saw all these animals in these high tech cages. They didn't look miserable, but again, on a primordial level, I said, I guess I said like a movie. I said, "This shall not stand." And I said, "I don't know if Patrice." I said, "Between Papa Noel and Carole King, I said you two got some big decisions to make because I know you might think you have the upper hand." Because I'm in a cage and I'm the kind of person that gets distracted by a veterinarian dart for 45 minutes. But I have perfect faith. I'm here for a reason. And they said, you are here for a reason. And they said, you're the last specimen to go on display. And I said, oh, I said, is this like a zoo for outer space? I thought this was a zoo for rich people. I said, is this a giant mountain based rocket ship? I said, are you launching all of us into outer space? Like, I said, Papa Noel and Carole King are not going to be happy about that. And then the iPod word and it clicked again and Beach Boys came up. I've been waiting for the day, or I'm waiting for the day. Again, this is not an iPhone display, so it's not easy. You know, I don't have Total Recall songs and I only had one earbud in. So just, you know, you can't blame me. I said, that's fine. You're going to launch me and all these animals in space. I said, I've been waiting for the day to be launched in space, as a matter of fact. And, you know, couldn't afford space camp, so that was out. Always fantasized on going on that plane, but I said, geez, you only get 1 second of zero gravity. What a ripoff. And, you know, many times I've dreamed about being launched into space. And believe it or not, many, you're not the first set of, I said, so are you two, you're just, They said, what are you guys, like, so your sister's really the mastermind behind all this. So you two, like, you'll just win Carole King and whoever that is, Papa Noel decide. You'll catch the blame. I said, are you getting, like, what are you guys getting paid in, alien money or treasure behind the wild streams? And their eyes didn't give me an answer. And so then I said, okay, because those are usually the kind of things that give me an answer, you know, to try to pit them. You know, I was trying every strategy I'd learned from cartoons, to be honest with you. And I said, well, that's fine, because, you know, like I said, I've been waiting for the day to be launched into space, make friends with aliens, because a lot of people have, you know, also said that I'm like an alien, or, you know, that my behavior's alien, you know, or I, you know, many. So I said, that'll be fine. And I said, you know, since I have a primordial problem with zoos, I don't know, maybe me and all these animals. I said, will I be weightless at all? Sorry, just before I get to my plan, will I be weightless at all? And that got them confused. And then they said, yeah, I guess we will. And I said, great. I said, well, it'll be worth it then. And then when I return, now, I'm presuming Papa Noel will be rescuing me, but I'm not sure if Papa Noel has a sleigh. One, I'm not super familiar. Two, if sleighs could, you know, if it's got a oxygen bubble, so Papa Noel could get me after I get my Christmas gift early of true weightlessness, or if Papa Noel just wait till I get with these, which are these good aliens? And then they, then there was a reaction in their face. They said, okay, we're on to something, Carole King, but I still need your help, please. And that's when Ryan Adams' song, My Love for You Is Real, came up. And, you know, because I had a crush on Simone, and usually pure evil people, I don't get crushes. Well, Cersei. So I guess, well, some of those, probably had some as a child with some of those Disney queens. Okay, so strike that. But I'd sensed, you know, that Simone wasn't pure evil. Patrice, I mean, who, what kind of a person decides to become a veterinarian? And so I said, and then that my love for you is real. And then I said, well, actually, like I said, before I said, what's the ETA? What's our countdown? Well, I said, that's another thing I'd be excited to hear, the countdown over the loudspeakers. Is there, are they going to do that? And I said, also, will I get a helmet in a patch? I'd like, you know, a launch patch. So in case I come back to Earth, I can prove it to people. And also, and then I said, what about Bob? I said, is Bob coming to space? Because I'd like to say goodbye to Bob the Bobcat, since that's, I said, are you sure I'm the best candidate for, I said, and they said, and I said, can I just say goodbye to Bob? I think Bob liked me. And I said, what's wrong with Bob anyway? Because I really, before I get launched into space with all these other animals, and I noticed, and I don't want to brag here, but I will. And I think this might be another thing where you start to talk about the primordial ooze pumping through my veins. All the other animals like me for the most part, unless it's a mutual dislike. And then they say, okay, well, I just don't like you. You don't like me. But for the most part, we animals like me. So all the animals had been paying very close attention to me. And I'm sure they heard my real compassion and empathy for Bob the Bobcat. So I started to feel more and more secure, you know, because I felt the animals watching me. And I felt like my voice was comforting them, and maybe the confidence I was trying. I mean, because I was curious. I said, geez, like normally, unfortunately, like in day-to-day life, like just going and sitting down paying bills, I lose my sense of adventure. But you lock me inside of a mountain and threaten to launch me into space. I'm like, I don't know. That's when I'm able to adapt. And I said, listen, I'll be straight with you. Go ahead and launch me into space. But my love for Bob the Bobcat's real. I just want to know before you do, you know, what's going on with Bob. And if Bob's okay, I'd like to say goodbye. Just pat Bob's head. And then she said, Patrice, go get Bob. And I said, also, Simone, I don't know if this will change things, because I guess this is a win-win situation for me. I get launched into space and I'm weightless, or I do have a crush on you. I should be honest. I mean, it's on, you know, it's on hold now, because I'd rather stay on Papa Noel's good list. And Patrice, you know, he looks, you know, I'm not a vet, so I don't have that income, or I don't have that going for me. I said, if I was wearing any kind of lab coat, it would be, you know, a store-bought one. So it wouldn't be, wouldn't have the inlay of my name. And if I put doctor, you know, unless it was Dr. Goofball, wouldn't. And then she smiled. I said, it's fine. You know, don't worry about that. I'll be weightless soon. And I said, so is this all, is some of this about Bob? And she said, it is about Bob a little bit. And this is like terribly, but she told me this long story. And then Patrice came about how they rescued Bob the Bobcat. They'd found Bob in a crater of all places, you know, after a meteorite strike. And then they'd gone and taken Bob in, and they'd nursed Bob back to health. And then, you know, this company came, you know, outer space representatives came, and they said, listen, we need that. We're delivering, believe it or not, we delivered that Bobcat to the wrong planet. You know, it's scheduled to go to KQ-12 or something. And they said, well, this is our, and she said, that's when my sister was living with me. And she was, planning, you know, the secret luxury zoo. She had invested, she had a startup, and she, you know, she cashed out. She invested all her money in a mountain stronghold where she was dealing in luxury zoo animals. And she was listening in, and we told the alien to, you know, the alien to leave. You know, we were also in shock that we had been visited by an alien, and the alien said they would be, you know, the customer would probably be back, because this was very rare. And I said, you know, well, I'll talk to my manager. And she said, and then her sister said, you know, we'll have an alien Bobcat. And then they said, well, how are we going to know that Bob's, it looks like a normal Bobcat, just a greenish, you know, greenish tinge to Bob's coat. And I had Bob wrapped in my jacket or shirt, so I didn't really notice. And I said, well, how do you know Bob? And then she said, well, when Bob's feeling healthy, he shoots lasers out of his eyes. And I said, like, dangerous ones? And she said, no, delightfully, you know, delightful lasers. It's a laser cat. And I said, I think that was He-Man's cat, too. Laser cat, maybe. I said, I'd like to go by Laser Cat if I could. And then she said, Bob got sick. And then, you know, it was a whole thing with her sister wanting to co-opt Bob. And then, like, you know, family stuff. Oh, boy. You know, that's not suited for this podcast. But she was even saying, oh, boy, my sister. You know, she knows how to push all my buttons. So we gave in to her. Then the aliens came, and they said, fine. Like, you know, and they looked at the zoo. And they said, and then they made a deal with the sister. They said, you two can keep Bob. We'll deliver more space Bobcats here in exchange for all these zoo animals plus one human. And then, like, while I was talking, you want to talk about being on the right path, the Bob Marley song Chatterbox came on. So I said, okay, keep talking, Scoots. Your Carole King is actually, you know, encouraging you. But then I said, okay, so you're keeping Bob. So I said, Bob's sick? And they said, yeah, but that was the thing. They said, we'll bring Bob a special, like, she thought it was plutonium-like, but not plutonium, that Bob needed, because Bob's lasers weren't working, obviously. Otherwise, Bob would have done some cool laser stuff. But yeah, she says, so her sister made a deal to exchange all the animals within the mountain. The aliens gave it, you know, they had technology to launch the inside of a mountain. Clearly, we don't. I mean, it's a freaking, you got to go up in that C-130 to be weightless for 4 seconds. And I can't even do that. And so it's your typical exchange, like zoo exchange, but not like under the approval of any zoo boards, not with the animal's permission. And also I was included in the package. And so then I kept talking, and then I looked again, and I started to lock eyes with the animals. And then another song came up that I didn't recognize right away. Said it is "Don't You See It" by Chris Mars. And I said, "See what, Carole King?" And so I think I was talking about something inane like lasers. They said, "Well, geez, whatever happened to laser?" You know, just like the podcast, but this was in real life, in middle of an adventure. I said, "Did 3D kill laser light shows, or was it the professionalization of planetariums?" And I said, "There's some nice professionalization of planetariums." And I said, "The strangest thing is my brother is a planetarium professional. He makes movies for planetariums." And I said, "Imagine that, and then I'll be weightless soon with all these animals." And I said, "What am I supposed to be seeing? What am I supposed to be seeing?" And I still didn't see anything. So I said, "Well, I'll just keep my, I guess I'll keep my eyes open," which is what's going to happen. But I said, try to stay observant, Scoots. And I said, "Well, Bob, it was great to meet you." I kissed Bob's head. I said, "Sorry, I won't get to see your lasers, but at least I'll be weightless." I said, "Will the cages unlock when we reach outer space so that I can," "is this ship going to be on autopilot?" And Simone said, "Yes." So, it's outer space freight company, obviously. They know what they're doing. And I said, "Isn't that what they always say with this autopilot stuff?" And I said, "Is this like when I was caged?" I said, "I don't like zoos, so I'm going to be in a zoo forever. And then I could tell they weren't entirely comfortable with that. But they said, "Well," and Bob, snuggled in closer, and that locked it up. They don't know me. And Bob has laser eyes, which I don't have. And I said, "Simone, it's been a pleasure. That was like a great, when we were driving in the car, I thought I was in love with you." Well, I guess that's a little strong, but Patrice, congratulations on, being a vet. I guess probably, they said, "I hope Papa Noel doesn't have any contacts. You'll probably lose your license and board here." And he said, "I hadn't thought about that." And I said, "Well, maybe you could, I don't know what you could do to get on, especially as a vet." I said, "Because do you think Papa Noel, would weigh that?" I think he probably would weigh that heavier, the fact that you're a vet and you're sending all these innocent animals. And then the sister came, of course. And she said, "Where's the fool?" And I said, "Right here, madame, right here, ready for weightlessness." He said, I was asking them, they didn't know. I said, "Oh, pleasure to meet you, by the way." I said, "You could just refer to me." I said, "Do I have a cage number?" And she said, "Your cage number is 0. And I said, "Do you listen to my podcast?" And she said, "No." And then Carole King kicked on the NWA bonus track, bonus beats. And I said, "I'm supposed to be looking for something, bonus beats." And then I just started tapping, and I started tapping on the bars. And she said, he'll do fine. And I said, "That's right. I'm going to give, believe me, you're going to get your money's worth." I said, "I don't want to know about it." I said, "Do you believe in Papa Noel?" And I said, as the villain, we haven't really spent a lot of time with you. And she said, "I'm no villain. I'm a visionary." And I said, that's what they all say. And I said, "Okay." I said, "Especially when Papa Noel comes with the coal." I said, "I think that happened in like 4 or 5 chapters of Tale of Two Cities and Les Mis, the two, French novels I'm most familiar with. When Papa Noel came to visit, all the people that got, they said, 'Why are you doing this to me, Papa Noel? I'm a visionary.'" And I said, I do feel a bit like Jean Valjean right now, except that I'll be weightless. So, and she said, "Do you ever be quiet?" And I said, "When you guys got me with that dart, I was pretty quiet." And I said, "We still don't know what bonus beats are." And then I saw a corner of my eye, it looked like a lion yawning. And then I saw a couple more animals start to yawn, the sympathetic yawn. And I said, "Okay, bonus beats." And then I said, "When's the launch? How long to launch?" She said, "Any moment now. We just, She's like, I just wanted to see you with my own eyes. And I said, well, here they are. And I said, do you mind if I beatbox for comfort? And she said, what? And I said, actually, I don't really beatbox, but I started beatboxing, which I know I can't do here, and I don't do a good job. But as I started doing it, like, all the animals were watching me. And, you know, it's kind of wild, which is why I wouldn't do it on a sleep podcast. But some of the mammalian animals, they started doing, like, different, you know, what was called raspberry sounds. And they were following my lead. And it started, you know, this is like a whole chamber, you know, multi-levels. We're talking 30 tiers, you know, like, just like in a sci-fi movie, circular. We're in the side of a mountain, right? One of those triangular mountains. So we're talking about a central rounded chamber, circular with cells. I guess I'm in cell zero. And so it goes all the way up to the top. And all those animals start doing some form of like whatever it's one step below amateur beatboxing, where a beatboxer would say, you're not beatboxing. And I'd say, no, I'm trying to beatbox. So like, beatboxer in training. And the noise started to get very loud. And they said, then my iPod kicked on Road to Nowhere by Talking Heads. And so I said, what do you want me to? And then I said, okay, this is perfect. And then again, I made eye contact with the animals, and it was really, really loud. I mean, imagine thousands of animals trying to beatbox with a person that doesn't know how to beatbox. Sympathetic beatboxing. There's another autobiography. Somebody write that down. The Sympathetic Beatboxer. I think that'd be the best friend ever. Well, who's your best friend? The Sympathetic Beatboxer. Actually, if anybody's a therapist, yeah, Sympathetic Beatbox Therapy. What kind of therapy do you pray? Well, it's SBT, Sympathetic Beatbox Therapy. It's a new form, and you know, pseudoscience for sure. But anyway, in this case, the beatboxing was not, it was sympathetic, but not to the ears. And then I pretended, you know, because Carole King was planting ideas in my mind, not due to my own, not my own brilliance. I pretended I was hearing something above the beatboxing or beyond the beatboxing. And then I started to make a motion like that. I said, oh, and then I said, 5, 4, 3. And of course, the dictator woman, whose name I still never caught, she looked at me at first like I was losing. And then I said, 1. And then I started shaking my cell bars. And then all the animals, especially the primates, of course, with all the other animals, they started doing, I guess, sympathetic acting. And, you know, I was pretending I was being thrown about my cage. And once all the animals started moving, the whole room started shaking. So then, like, they got this panicked look on their face. And all the animals were still shaking. Now, unfortunately, that ruse lasted for about all of 4 seconds. Because, you know, these people were reasonably intelligent. But also, like, it also, the animals were still shaking. I was still shaking. And then the building started, you know, I mean, once you can't really double retrofit a mountain. Here's some free advice. Like, if you're going to carve out the inside of a mountain for some sort of futuristic zoo or something, that's one thing. But then if you're going to have a bunch of aliens come in and retrofit the futuristic zoo with rocket ship-type stuff, it definitely affects the structural integrity of the mountain. Yeah, because it's supposed to be launched into space. You know, it's totally different. Totally different kind of engine. I mean, ask any engineer. I mean, don't take my word for it. But the thousands of animals shaking started to make the mountain and the spaceship. It's meant for vertical movement. And, you know, lower, you know, anyway, again, talk to the scientists about that. But then, you know, they said the mountain started to come apart and they were all panicking. And then I told Ann, I said, stop. You know, cause I don't want to affect the poor animals. And then the dictator was yelling at me And I could see the family lineage there, because then Simone was just standing holding Bob the Bobcat with Patrice behind her, you know, kind of reliving some sort of family issue. Meanwhile, me and all these poor animals are stuck in this family drama. I mean, who even knows how the aliens and the lasers work into it? But then Neil Diamond's Solitary Man came on, and she was yelling at me that I probably damaged the rocket structurally. And she just seemed, you know, I blew her plans up, you know, totally. And I said, well, I'm sure the aliens will, you know, re-retrofit the mountain, you know, because there was like holes you could see. Obviously, we weren't going into space. And I said, think about how I feel. I was finally going to be weightless. You know, I couldn't go to space camp. Were you recording that part when I was telling you that? And she was really mad. And then I said, that's fine. All I wanted to do was help a bobcat. And then I said, this is the path. I said, there's still a chance to turn all this around for Pop, you and Papa Noel. Even if you don't believe in Papa Noel, you know, and she's, you know, obviously she was saying she was going to, she said, I think she was saying she was going to leave me solitary in the cell. I said, forever? And I said, you're going to let all the animals free, right? And she said, no, the alien, she said, yeah, I'm still going to get. Wait for, and then she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she was really, and I said, whoa. I said, holy cow. I said, why don't you try set? I said, well, you can't really set these animals. I said, you really, I said, maybe we should get a hold of Papa Noel, because that would be the best person to return all these animals to their rightful owners or their natural habitats or a place, you know, they could accommodate them into something like their natural habitat, you know, with good conscience. And then all three of them gave me a blank look, which I knew at that point, you know, they were all, they had crossed over, you know, they had gone too far and they had no intention of returning these animals, you know, to any of those like places. So I said, oh boy, I said, hey, Carole King, how about a little help here? And then Hey Jude came on, the Beatles song. And I said, well, geez, I guess it's time to take a sad song and make it better. And I looked at Bob the Bobcat, and I wondered, and I said, you know, but geez, I don't think people, you know, people don't get lasers in their eyes just for light shows. And so I started singing, hey, Bob, we need your lasers. We need your lasers from your eyes, Bob. Just remember to look inside of your bobcat heart, and soon you'll begin to laser us all out, all out, all out. And then I started singing, Bob, 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 hey, Bob, laser us. Come on, Bob, laser. And then Bob, I said, Bob, remember this whole tale started with me and Carole King here to rescue you, to rescue all these other creatures. And maybe, it's just, maybe it's too late to rescue your three's Christmas. And then Bob, just like that, I mean, it took a lot more singing, like really not sleep podcasty level. And then all the other animals, you know, in harmony, well, I'd say harmony, that would be an extreme, a horrible version of harmony, you know, singing and howling along with me singing, hey, Bob, laser us out, out, out. You know, can you hear, you can probably hear the howling. It was beautiful for me, and it touched Bob's heart, because we said, you know, deep in your heart or whatever, you've got some lasers, lasers, lasers. Come on, Bob. And then Bob started to laser. Lasers shot out of Bob's eyes, and not the kind for a light show, but they were obviously laser lights. And soon, you know, locks started to melt. And I said, well, actually, Bob, just let me, hold on, Bob. That's what I said, with your, I was still singing. And then the lasers also, they blinded the other three. I guess that was a little bit of a miracle, because I wasn't blinded. But then I said, you know, maybe because I was singing, probably that's why. Or Bob knew. My cell was lasered. And I opened the cell door. And right as my door opened, they were still like blinded. And plus, like, you know, when you're holding a bobcat, lasering stuff. And I scooped Bob in my arms because it's really, you know, they'd kind of just been stunned by the turn of events and probably the singing and the howling, the beatboxing, the fake launching. Carole King wasn't done because then the national anthem by Radiohead kicked on my iPod. And I say, held Bob. And I said, well, geez, this is weird because it's the 3rd of July. And I said, Carole King. And I said, don't make me have Bob Lazar, you three. Hands up, you know. I said, on behalf of, the only thing that can help us now is like a combination of Roberta Claus, the woman that replaced Santa Claus, and Papa Noel. And I kid you not, through the holes in the ceiling, my beatboxing and fake rocket, I started to hear, you know, chink chinkity, chink chink chinkity, chink doo 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 doom. You know, the bells. And I said, that's exactly who, you know, will be able to help me redistribute these animals to the proper homes. And then I can't really, you know, this is an NDA thing. You can't really talk about Papa Noel and Roberta Claus and, you know, how that business is conducted, especially in non-holiday season, non-holiday, non-disclosure agreement. But I will tell you this, all the animals were redistributed. In what better way? Through a highly, you know, see, geez, and I said, you know, to Papa Noel and Roberta Claus, or, you know, if I can't disclose that fact, I said, how come we're not venturing to get, and they said, do you have any idea? You know, he said, geez, this is for Carole King. We want to get tickets to her. And I said, you can't get tickets. I said, can you get tickets to Hamilton? And then they laughed at me. And I said, I know a concierge that may be able to, I said, thank you. And then they like redistributed all the animals to the proper or most suiting place. And I said to Papa Noel, I said, these three are French. He said, anyway, it doesn't matter. And I said, what about this laser cat? And Bob gave me a look like Bob wanted to come live with me. But I said, Bob, listen. And then right then, the parcel person from the outer space thing, you know, he came. And then I said, and I said, yeah, that launch got screwed up. And he said, you know, and I said, well, Bob's lasers got turned on. And I said, the only thing I think could be me beatboxing or singing, hey, Bob, we'll keep the lasers off. I said, I could sing, hey, Bob, keep your lasers off. I said, while you deliver Bob, I said, if you can take me to space and back. And this was really just a trick so I could experience weightlessness. Meanwhile, I guess this was in Canada. I had no idea, but Papa Noel and Roberta Claus had alerted the Mounties who showed up. Like right as I was boarding this spaceship with Bob singing, hey, you know, hey, Bob, don't shoot your lasers. And the Mounties, you know, took those three into custody. And I think they were like, they said, this is a total violation of the rights of this mountain. So that's like a big deal up there. They, you know, that's your toast. Basically, when the Mounties kept you messing with the mountain rights violations. And I said, oh, they're French-Canadian. Makes them. And I said, well. And I said, au revoir. And then, you know, again, another non-disclosure agreement I signed with. I did experience weightlessness. Bob did get returned to Bob's proper planet. Because it turns out even in some of these space planets, because I told the delivery guy, I said, I asked him if I said, do you know what Papa Noel is? No. Santa Claus? No. Roberta Claus? And then he said that it was leaked over the airwaves there. They thought it was actual news, my podcast. You know, talk about it, ego boost, aliens to listen to this podcast. So then I said, well, can we let's not deliver Bob. Let's deliver Bob to where Bob belongs. So then, and then I said, I got weightlessness in like two different orbits, you know, and then a third one on the way back to Earth. and maybe I guess the whole time, but I had to go, you know, I had to go into some cryo sleep for a little while. So that was cool. I got cryo sleep. I guess I missed out on the, like, whatever, when you go really fast, how they, and I didn't pay attention for any of the technology stuff. Yeah, I mean, I guess I keep my adventures to Earth, and then I was returned to Earth to tell you the tale and express my appreciation on behalf of the animals of the world and the universe for the real savior, Carole King. So that's the end of that tale. Good night, everybody. All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you still listen on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, okay. So like, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. Like, that's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, oh, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think it may be this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, P.I., huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got,
1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's a Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Renfair with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but The Guild, the web series of The Guild, we did part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on. I don't know. Maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with 2 new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? I guess in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do. And those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.